It just jumped up in my gut, and I believe it was the Lord reminding me of it because I wasn't thinking about it. I hadn't planned on it. I was going to preach on David and Goliath today out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and the name of the message was going to be Fighting Giants, No Problem. Amen? But I think I may hold off till next week on that because as we was doing these baby dedications today, this just rose up in my gut as I walked over there to sit down a while ago. Some of you may have heard this message before. If you have, just hunker down and hear it again. If you hadn't, pay attention. If you got your Bible with you, open it up to 1 Peter chapter 2. And as you're turning there, let's stand up for the reading of the Word of God. And I'm going to start out in verse 22 of the previous chapter, the first chapter of 1 Peter. I'm going to start out reading in verse 22. It says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." We spend so much time in our life building our own kingdom that's going to pass away. The only thing that lasts forever is one thing. The Bible says that the word of God endures forever. Amen. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, right? But his word shall endure. The Bible says that God even exalts his word above what? Even above his name. And the highest name on earth is who? The name of Jesus. There is no other name higher than the name of Jesus. But the Bible says that God even exalts his word even above his name. Amen. So what God is saying here is he's saying you go out, you plant flowers this spring. By fall, most of those are going to be gone. You put a garden in, it's going to be gone. You put your yard in, your Bermuda grass and your St. Augustine grass, by the end of summer, it's going to be gone. And that's what God is comparing my life and your life to. He says we spend so much time in this life. And he says, but really this life ain't nothing more than a blade of grass, a flower. It comes and it goes. So what you do from the time that you bloom until the time that you die, that's what, or wither, I like that. From the time that you wither, that's what counts. Amen? So as we look here, he says, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to who? To you. Then he says in chapter 2, therefore. And so when we go into chapter 2, when he uses the word therefore, that means that he is tying it to a previous speech, a previous talk, a previous action, or a previous word. Amen? So he says all this, and he says, since your life is just, boom, basically a vapor, he says, therefore, listen, he's basically saying, we ain't got time to be messing around with all this other stuff. Amen? He says, since I'm comparing your life right here to a flower, to a grass, to a plant that sprouts up and then withers away in a time, He says, you ain't got time to be messing around with all this other stuff. Amen. Now watch. Because he's saying, the grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, he says, since you're only a piece of grass, amen, or since your life expectancy is like that of a blade of grass or that as of a flower, he says, therefore, he says, you don't have forever. You just got the number of days that you've been given. Amen? And he says, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Father God, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I'm asking you right now that your spirit would move, not only in me, but amongst the people that are under the sound of my voice. Not only those that are in this building, but those that are watching by Facebook, those that are watching by the internet. And I'm asking, Father God, that the words that I speak not be my words, but they be your words. I'm asking, Father God, that anything that I say that is of me would not make it past this pulpit, but it would fall dead to the ground, having absolutely no effect. But only the words which have been breathed on by you, by your spirit. And it's your spirit that when it breathes upon the words, your word says that my words, they are spirit and life. I pray that you breathe upon these words and you cause them to become alive in the ears and the hearts and the eyes of those that can hear me. I pray, Father God, that your word becomes a light that drives the darkness out of our minds and out of our hearts. I ask, Father God, that your word would go forth and perform exactly what you sent it to do, you watching over your word, making sure that it does not return unto you void. Father God, there's people in here that need to hear from you. There's people watching over the internet that need to hear from you. Father God, let it give them ears to ear so that they can hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all grab a seat. Now, as I was saying a while ago, we see here that Peter is comparing our life to a blade of grass, to a flower. And as y'all know, that a blade of grass, you got spring flowers. You got different flowers that come in different seasons. You got flowers like bluebonnets. They pop up at the beginning of spring, and by the end of spring, they're gone. Their lifespan is pretty short. Amen? And you and me, we may think that somebody that lives to be 90 years old or even 100 years old, that's a long time. That's a long life. Amen? But in the span of eternity, 100 years wouldn't even cover the sharp end of a sewing needle. Think about that. 100 years, we think it's so long. And what Paul is saying under the unction, or what Peter is saying under the unction of the Holy Ghost, is he's saying that no matter how long a man lives on this earth, it's like a flower that pops up. And we cannot wrap our mind around the span of eternity. I mean, we cannot wrap our mind. You and I do not have the capability to understand forever. We really don't. So what he's saying here, he's saying, therefore, he says, since your life is nothing, my life, your life, that it comes and go, it starts and it ends, amen? He's saying, therefore, he's saying, we don't have time to be jacking with a lot of this stuff. We don't have time to be messing with a lot of the things that you and I get caught up in. We don't have time to be messing with a lot of the arguments, a lot of the strife, a lot of the envy, a lot of the jealousy, a lot of the greed, so many things that you and I spend so much of our conversation being about. Peter is saying, you don't have time to be messing with that stuff. Listen, your life is only this much in eternity, and live it so that every moment counts. So he's saying right here, he says, therefore. He said, why does he say therefore? Because your life is like a blade. Your life is like a flower. Your life is like a piece of grass. I was listening to a preacher the other day on the radio. Many of y'all may have heard this. And I just went blank. I forgot his name. The guy that puts on Harvest America. Greg Laurie, however you say it. And he talks about our life. If you take your life and you put it in a 24-hour time clock. He said, if you're 50, and I'm not getting these times exactly right. I got the hours right, but they may not be exactly right. And he says, if you're 15 years old, he said, on a 24-hour time clock, he said, if you're 15 years old, it's already 10:15 in the morning for you. He says, if you're 30 years old, he says, it's already after lunch, like 12:45. He said, if you're 40 years old, it's already 4:08. He says, if you're 50 years old, it's already 6:15. He says, if you're 60 years old on a 24-hour time, he says, it's already 8:23 in your life. He says, if you're 60 years old, it's like 9:30. And he said, if you're 70 years old, it's already 11:26 in your life, just a few minutes before midnight. Amen? This is what Peter's saying. He's saying your life. He's saying, so therefore, now listen to me. Therefore, as I get into this, how many of us, we find ourselves getting caught up in this stuff? He says, therefore, lay aside. You and I got to put some things aside. We got to lay some things down. And to lay something down means that we had a hold of it. Amen. And too many of us today, there's certain things out there that we grab a hold of, and you and I have got to make a decision to lay it down. If I pick up these glasses right here, I can hold on to these glasses, but I have got to make a decision to lay them aside. I've got to make a decision to let it go. And there's going to be things that come into your life, and there's going to be things that come into my life that we grab a hold of in our life and we carry it around as a badge of honor or a crutch as an excuse for everything else that happens in my life. And I'm afraid that if I lay that down, then I'm going to lay the excuse down of why I am like I am. Amen? But Peter is saying right here, he says, you got to do something. And too many of us today, we like to grab a hold of malice and anger. We like to grab a hold of envy. We like to grab a hold of strife. We like to grab a hold of gossip. We like to grab a hold of belly aching and whining and complaining and griping and complacency. And we got to grab a hold of these things. And we've got a hold of them. And how do you know when you got a hold of them? Because that's all that people talk about. But he says, therefore, he says, listen, your life is too short. You don't know where tomorrow's going to be. He says, therefore, you and I have got to do something. You and I have got to make a decision. We have got to lay these things aside. We have got to lay aside unforgiveness. We got to lay aside strife. We got to lay aside belly aching. We got to lay aside complaining. We have got to do something. We have got to make a decision that I'm going to lay down complaining. I'm going to lay down arguing. I'm going to lay down strife. I'm going to lay down bitterness. I'm going to lay down complacency. I'm going to lay these things down. Why? Because my life is too short to be completely controlled by these things. You and I have got a work to be doing in the kingdom of God. And there's so many of us that we've got a hold of these other things, and we're so weighted down with belly aching and complaining and whining and griping and, oh, how somebody done me wrong, and, oh, how where I'd be if this person wouldn't have done that to me, or, oh, how better my life would be. You have got to lay those things down. Why? Because who wants to spend the shortness of their life complaining about everything? He says, lay them down. Why? Because you got work to be doing for the kingdom of God. You got work to be doing. He says, lay it aside. So you got to make a decision. Many of us say, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to hold on to it? Or are you going to make a decision, start laying it down? How you lay it down? Well, you got to slap yourself every now and then. You ever get a hold of something? Sometimes your kid gets a hold of something, you got to slap his hand, let go. I guarantee you start popping yourself in the mouth, you start watching the words come out of your mouth. Shut up, Kevin. Because the Lord been dealing with me on some stuff. And I'd be going down the road and I'd just say something. Something just fly out of my mouth. Not cussing. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, remind me of this. And as soon as something flies out of my mouth, the Holy Ghost right there pops me in the mouth. And I'm like, Lord, man, I'm trying, Lord. I'm working on that. I'm working on that, Lord. Don't stop slapping me. Don't stop scourging me according to Hebrews chapter 12. Don't stop correcting me, Father God, because that's how I know that you love me, Father God. Don't stop correcting me, Lord. But here's what I'm asking, Lord. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Not only do I want you to keep correcting me, but I want you to give me the ability to, by your spirit, to obey the correction that you're bringing. See, now listen, that's where we got to take it another step further. Because many of us want the Lord to correct us, amen? But then we want God to make us obey. God's not going to make you obey. He'll bring the correction, but then you got to lay aside, amen? You got to be willing to obey what he's brought the correction in. Amen? So he says, laying aside. Now here's where I wanted to get to. Now he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. As we sat here this morning, I was looking at those babies. I was looking at those infants, and you watch a child. You watch a child. If you got mamas in here that breastfeed, watch that child. Watch that child. I think sometimes children are smarter than we are. Infants are smarter than we are. Because a baby knows where its life source comes from. You watch a baby even at a few months old. He says, therefore, now Paul or Peter is telling the people, he's saying, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. And you watch a newborn baby as a mom breastfeeds that baby, as a mom takes care of that child, that it's just in a very, very short amount of time that that child who can't speak a word, that child that cannot tell you what's wrong, that the child, if it's got a pain in its body, if the child is hurting, cannot speak what is wrong. Now they can cry and they can have a fit and you can know that there's something wrong, but as a mom, as a dad, as a parent, knowing that there's something wrong with your child, but you don't know what to do to fix it because you just wish you knew what was wrong, but they cannot verbalize what it is that's going on. But you know what? When it comes down, when that child is hungry, they know exactly where to go. When it comes down to a time and a mom is holding a baby, that baby can't talk, that baby can't walk, that baby can't pick itself up, that baby can't take care of itself, that baby can't change its diapers, that baby can't change its clothes, but I will guarantee you that that baby knows exactly where to go and get food. You can be holding that baby, and as that baby starts getting a little bit older, I sit there and watch babies before, and they'll start reaching at mama's blouse, and they'll start trying to move the blouse out of the way, and they'll start trying to unbutton the blouse. Why? Because the baby is hungry, and that baby knows that there's not but one place to go in order to get the need that will satisfy the craving that that child has. And God is comparing you and I to babies. And here's what a baby does. A baby knows that there's something standing between it and what it wants. So it will start warring against whatever it is between the baby and the mama's milk. And the baby will even start fighting against the mama's blouse. And the baby will start pulling at the mama's blouse. Why? Because it's the blouse that covers the woman, but it's the blouse that keeps the baby from getting the food that it needs in order to grow. So the baby will start warring against the blouse. The baby will start fighting against the blouse. And God tells you and I that we are to be against new, but we are to be as newborn babes. In other words, there's going to be things in this world going on. It's going to try to knock you off course and keep you from getting to the Word of God, because that is where our source is. That is where our strength is. But a baby don't let that stop him. A baby will have a wall-eyed fit until they get it. A baby will pull. A baby will snag. A baby will continue going against it. And Paul is saying, you be as a newborn babe. As a baby desires the milk, so are you and I to desire the purity of God's word. In other words, anything that is separating that baby from the word of God, the blouse, the shirt, handkerchiefs, or whatever it is, that child starts pulling, that child starts tugging, that child starts moving. Why? Because even a child knows that that is what it needs. Even a child knows that in order to get to what that child needs, every barrier, every obstacle's got to be removed. And what does a child start doing? Start fighting against it. Starts fighting against it. Why? Because that, and these clothes, they ain't bad. I know in today's society we're trying to get, but these clothes ain't bad. Amen? And there's things, listen to me. We're supposed to cover ourselves. We're supposed to dress. But listen, these things, as harmful as they are, they still keep a child from receiving what it needs. And in my life and in your life, we get distracted by so many things that are not sinful. In my life, in your life, we get distracted by so many things that don't seem bad. In my life, in your life, we get distracted by so many things. I got to take the kids over here to this sport. I got to take the kids over here to this recital. I got to take the kids over here. I got to be over here. I got to be over there. And in the eye of it, in the scope of it, it's not that big. It's a beautiful blouse. And we love to take our kids to beautiful things. And we love to keep our kids busy. And we love to do all these things because it makes us feel like good parents. Amen? But really, if those things, no matter how good they are, no matter how social they are, if those things are keeping your child from getting to the Word of God, if those things are keeping you from getting to the Word of God, you and I have got to start warring against those things just like a child would their blouse in order to get it out of the way, because it's robbing my time with God. And if I do not have the purity of God's Word, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm going to start losing weight. I'm going to become I'm going to get spiritually sick. And then times happen. What happens with the child? That child fights through. That child all of a sudden, and what happens? That milk makes that baby grow. That milk makes that baby grow. That child starts getting bigger. That child starts getting bigger. And that child starts getting bigger. And then guess what? As that child gets bigger, then you got to start introducing that baby to some things that it may not like. See, you got to start introducing that baby to some other types of food. Amen? You start introducing that baby, all of a sudden you start bringing broccoli in. You start bringing carrots in. You start bringing peas in. You start bringing all that different texture, different food, different way. And that baby, you'll put it in your mouth, you'll put that food in the baby's mouth. That baby will sit there and spit it out. So then what do you got to do? You got to create airplanes and choo-choo trains. and you got to come from way back here, and you're trying to bring it in, trying to land, and you're lying to your kid, like it's going to be good, and you stick it in his mouth, and it looks like you just robbed him. But here is the deal. You keep on feeding that child. You keep on speaking to that child because you know within that food is the nutrients that that child needs. And you know that that milk is only going to give that child what it needs for so long. But you got to get the meat. You got to get the proteins. You got to get the vegetables. You know why? Because the vegetables, everything in there causes the body to work the way that it should. And even though that child don't like them, you know they're... Even though that child don't like the food, a good parent knows it's beneficial for them. A good parent will try to convince them. A good parent will talk to them. A good parent will sit there and tell them, say, no, but it's good. It's going to give you strong muscles. You won't be like, Papa, eat your spinach. You're going to tell them all kinds of stuff because you know within that food is the nutrients that they need in order to develop the way that they need to develop. Because if you do not get them the nutrients that they need, then they're not going to be developed. They're going to be underdeveloped. And by not giving children the proper nutrients, their brains don't develop, their muscles don't develop, their bones don't develop, their ligaments don't develop. Things do not develop. Why? Because they've not been given the proper nutrients that they need. And it is my job and your job as parents in order to make sure that those children get the proper nutrients that they need. And you and I are the same way. Many of us come to church. Many of us go to church. Many of us go through the religious activities. But when it comes down to me having to eat something out of the Word of God that I don't like, that's when I have a problem. Because I guarantee you, we all like the parts of the Word right here that talks about how good everything's going to be, how well everything's going to be, how great everything's going to be, how wonderful everything's going to be, and God's wonderful plans that He has for you. Amen? We all like those parts. But when it gets down to the broccoli and the cauliflower and the carrots of the Word, many times we don't like that. And those are many times the things that we want to spit out. Those are the things that we don't want to deal with. Those are the things that we want to stay away with. But a good man of God, a good woman of God, is not really too concerned, amen, about the way you feel, because that person understands that in order for you to grow spiritually, that there's some things that you're going to have to eat from the Word of God that you may not like. There's some things that you're going to have to sit there and chew on, and you may swallow it, and it may go ding, 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 and it may come back up a little bit, but you're going to have to chew on. And most people today, when it gets down into the Word of God, it gets down to a what? No fornicating, what? No partying, no drinking, what? No hanging around with people that don't love. What are you talking about? When it gets down to those things, that is the broccoli and the cauliflower of the Word of God. What? No gossip? What? No belly aching? What? No envy? What? No strife? What? None of this. See, that's the broccoli and the cauliflower of the Word of God. And that's the stuff that we don't like to eat. So what ends up happening? We go find somebody that'll feed it to us on imaginary airplane. Whoa. Trying to slide something in that ain't what it really is. Amen. But even a baby. And then over time, what happens? That baby develops a taste for certain things. That child develops a taste for certain things. See, look, most of the body does not like correction. You know why? They've never been fed it. Most of the body don't like rebuke. You know why? They've never been fed it. They've got the cookies. They've got the cake. They've got so many good things. But when it comes down to the things that don't taste so good, it's hard to chew. It's hard to swallow. Amen. So let's look. So he says, as a baby. He says, as a baby. Let me get here. He says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. What is the purpose of the Word? Listen. What is the purpose of a child getting the pure milk of the Word? The purpose of a child is to strengthen his muscles, strengthen his bones, strengthen his hair, strengthen everything about that child. And listen, look at me right here. Look at me right here. If the child is not receiving the proper nutrients, the child is not going to grow. The child is going to die. And how many Christians or how many people do we know that are going to church, but they're not feeding themselves on the Word of God, and they're dead spiritually? And when I say dead spiritually, I'm talking about dead spiritually. When I say dead, I'm talking about that the gifts of the Spirit are not working in their life. I'm talking about dead spiritually. There's no discernment. There's no wisdom. There's no knowledge. There's no understanding. There's no faith. That church has become nothing more than a place where we go together and we think that we've done our religious duty to God, but we're not spending any time feeding ourselves on the meat of the Word of God. And if you and I are going to grow as Christians, just like a child has got to have the milk, the child, there are certain things in a mother's breast milk that a child can only get from there. Similac don't have it. Homemade, a man-made milk don't have it. You can go to the store. You can buy it in a can. You can buy it in a jar. But God has made a woman's body to where there's certain things that it produces. Man can't mimic it. The only way a child gets it is straight from the mother. And there is things in this world. There is another gospel that's going on in this world. It is not. It is man-made. And there's certain things that you ain't going to get from the Word of God until you get in it and you decide to read it and you decide to study it and you decide to eat from it yourself. Because God's got a purpose. And that purpose is that you and I would grow. He don't want you. Do you want your child to stay an infant? Do you want to continue your child when your child is 25 years old? You still changing diapers on it? Because they get a lot fuller. You want to continue doing that? No, and that's what God is saying to you and I. That when we come to Him, yes, we are to drink the milk. Yes, we need the foundation. But you and I, He wants you and I to grow in the things of God. There comes a point in time when He wants you and I to get away from the strife, get away from the envy, get away from the belly aching, get away from the complaining, get away from the hypocrisy, get away from all this stuff. And there comes a point in time, listen, when you were a child, your mom and dad, many times they'd have to tell you when to eat. Come on, why? You'd have friends over, you'd be running wild, having a good time. You didn't want to sit down and eat, did you? Come and eat. You need to eat. Come on, come and eat. But as you get older, you get hungry, you know it's time to eat. That's what God's saying to you and I. He's saying, listen, there ought to come a time in your life to where somebody's not always having to tell you, it's time to read your Bible, it's time to go to church, it's time to go to Sunday school, it's time to pray. There ought to be a point in your life to where you've matured enough that ought to be just what you do, just like when you get up and go to the dinner table. Every day you go, you get up, you go to eat breakfast. Every day you eat lunch. Every day you eat dinner. Why? Because that's something that you desire. Because you know that if you do not have that, that your body is not going to have the strength that it needs in order to sustain you through the day. Amen? Your body's not going to have the strength. And you and I have got to understand something, that many, many times, the reason that so many Christians fall, the reason that so many people fall away is because when the trials and the tribulations come against them in life, they've not put any spiritual food in, so they have nothing to sustain them through the storm. Listen to me, church. They have nothing to sustain them through the storm. And we sit there and we say things like, well, what's going on? God, where are you at? Why ain't you working? Why ain't this happening? Why ain't that happening? Why? Because we've rejected the meat of God's word. We've rejected sitting down at the table and eating from the manna that came down from heaven. Jesus said, I am the manna. We reject the living water that He says that if you'll come and drink of me, you'll never thirst again. We reject those things. We don't spend time in it. And then when the trials come against us, when the tribulations, when the winds grow, when the temptation to gossip comes, when the temptation to envy, strife, belly, whatever it is, when those things come against us, we don't have anything in us to sustain us through the storm, and we end up giving back into it. A person missing one meal does not die from starvation. And here's the deal. Many of us, we think that because there's certain things I don't do, that I'm okay spiritually. Listen, if most of your conversations are about somebody else, you ain't okay spiritually. Who said that's good? Yeah. If most of your conversations is belly aching, complaining, whining, griping, putting down this, putting down that, this, that, then you ain't okay spiritually. Because my conversation ought to be about glorifying God, not glorifying the mess that everybody else is doing. My conversation ought to be on heavenly things. My conversation is to be on the things of God. And many of us, we spend so much time eating from the world that that's the only thing that we can regurgitate. We spend so much time sitting in front of the TV, so much time listening to the radio, so much time whatever, that the only thing that can come out of us is what we put in us. But if we would spend some time starting to put the Word of God in us, and if we would spend some time letting the Word of God get down on the inside of us, and I'm not just talking about reading the Word of God, I'm talking about chewing on the Word of God, eating the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, thinking on the Word of God, and applying the Word of God, becoming obedient to the Word of God. And then if we, listen to me, the simple fact that you and I ought to understand that whatever comes out of me is what I'm putting in me. I cannot bring out of me something that I'm not putting in me. So here's what I challenge you to do. Record your speech for the next 24 hours, go back and listen to it, and then you'll see exactly what's in you. If you want to know what's in you, record, don't even go 24 hours. Let's go a couple hours. Record yourself. Go back and listen to it. Because the only person that can't see what's coming out of us is the... Amen? How much you'd find out how much your conversation is about God. How much of your conversation is about somebody else. How much your conversation is about what you don't like about others. All of this stuff right here, malice, deceit, envy, strife, evil speaking. Listen to just record yourself for in the next conversation for the next few hours. And we think that we're bringing some kind of glory to God by always talking about how sorry somebody else is. As if we're in a competition for the honor of God. And really what we don't see is we've just been putting in so much negative mess coming down on the inside of me, on the inside of me, that I've not been eating from the purity of God's Word. I've not been eating from the purity of the milk, the Word of God. But I've been eating from other things. And what you eat from is going to always show up in your figure. I ain't trying to be no way. Somebody walk in here weigh 350 pounds, tell me all they ever eat is chicken and broccoli. I'm going to say, devil's a liar. You understand what I'm saying, right? Can we tie that into the spiritual now? Somebody come in, the only thing you ever hear coming out of their mouth, you don't ever hear nothing about God. You don't ever hear nothing glorifying God. You don't ever hear nothing exalting God. You don't ever hear nothing about God. But the only thing that you hear out of their mouth is bellyaching, whining, complaining, this, that, and other. But they're talking about to go to church. They're talking about to study. Mm. Something ain't lining up with your figure. I think you got some midnight munchies going on when everybody else is asleep. I see the fork marks in the ice cream. My mom was a kid, she'd always be on a diet. My mom lived on a diet her whole life. I said, don't do no diet. I said, the first three quarters of the word is die with the cross at the end. I'd go in there and give me some ice cream. That was her trademark. She wouldn't use a spoon because it'd be so frozen, the spoon would bend all. So if you had a spoon that was bent, I knew mama wasn't on dope, so she had to be digging into ice cream. But a few people got that. But if you went in there and there's fork marks in there, because that fork, you could dig in there, that puppy. And then, you know what she'd do? She'd wear that ice cream out every night, man. We'd get up and go check, there'd be fork marks. And then when she'd get done, this is the gene that Bailey got. This is the gene that Bailey got. She'd leave one little old scoop there in the bluebell about that big right there. Not even enough. I mean, you can hold that sucker on a matchstick. And it had fork marks all around it. That's what Bailey does. She'll go and get all the ice cubes out of the tray and leave one. Am I right, Mama? Amen. Let's go. Let's go to Psalms 1. All right, let's go. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Everybody say blessed. Happy. Say I'm happy. Why? Don't say that. I'm asking you. Hey, who said why? Hey, this girl's tuned in, girl. This is paying attention right here. But why? Then he goes out, he says, blessed or happy is the man. See, in order to be blessed and happy, then he starts laying out why this man is blessed and happy. All right, now look. He says, blessed is the man who what? Who walks not. Now check this out. There's two parts to this thing of God. See, blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of God. But guess what? There's another part of that, that you do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. So many of us in today's life, we don't have the balance. We don't have both parts of it. Many of us, we know how to profess the word. We read the word. We spend time in the word. We do all that. But we don't stay away from the things of the ungodly, not understanding that it's only by having an understanding of godliness that you got the strength to stay away from the things that are ungodly. Because within my flesh and your flesh, we don't have the ability. But when we spend time putting the word of God in us, then something happens. What does the word of God say? It says, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. Amen. See, when the enemy comes against my thought life, when the enemy comes against my family, when the enemy comes against me, I've got to have something in me that comes against those thoughts like a flood and wars against them. And if that's not in me, it's because I've not been spending the time putting the spiritual nutrients in me that I need in order to sustain me when I'm going through a battle. So he says, right here, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. What is the counsel? Advice. Advice. Man, I've heard some people taking advice from folks, and I'm like, don't take advice from ungodly people. Because I'm going to tell you, the world out there has got some advice that's just stupid. Now, I mean, if somebody that ain't saved, if they tell you not to pick up a rattlesnake, take that advice. If somebody's not saved and they tell you don't stand in the middle of the road, take that advice. But let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Well, you got to do whatever makes you happy. No, you don't. You got to do whatever makes you happy. You got to do whatever your heart's telling you to do. No, you don't. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all. Well, you got to do whatever's truth to you. No, you don't. You are not the truth. There is not but one truth. And when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He didn't say Pastor Kevin or Tony or Darren or Sean. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no way to the Father except through me. There is not but one truth. And that has been written down in the Word of God so that you and I may have an opportunity to know it. And many of us today, we think that as long as it's not hurting anybody else, listen to me, we will never know the pain that we've caused to our children until the day of judgment. Listen to me. Many of us think that, well, this is not hurting anybody. My children seeing me in and out of relationships. My children seeing me in and out of this man or this woman. My children say, that's not affecting my children. I just want to teach them to be happy. And they grow up. And they can't handle a relationship. They're in and out. Things are crazy. Where'd they learn that from? Amen. We must understand that somebody's watching us, not only the Lord, but our children and those around us and the decisions that we make. And most lessons are caught, not taught. So when we look at this, blessed is the man who walks not in the advice or the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that does not follow, does not hang around the ungodly. Now, am I talking about that you don't minister to them? No, you do minister to them, amen? That's like I said earlier. If I'm ministering to somebody and I see the tree starting to produce fruit, then I'm going to continue fertilizing it with the Word of God, amen? And I know that you and I, we don't know exactly what's going on the inside of somebody, but I will tell you this, that if we are operating under the spirit of discernment, which is one of the gifts that God gives us, then I can discern whether somebody is receiving or not receiving, which then God gives me the ability through his grace to continue pouring out in that life. Why? Because now I'm moving in a gift of discernment, and I know that something's going on, even though I may not be able to see it in the physical. Amen. But too many of us today, we're not in touch with the gift of discernment. Amen. And since we're not in touch with the gift of discernment, we don't know when we need to move along or when we need to stay. And we need to be praying that God would give us discernment. What is that? One of the gifts of the Spirit, talked about in the book of Corinthians. Discernment in order so that I can judge wisely about what's going on. All right, so he says here, let's look. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, hang around advice from the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners. That word stands, nor is he in relations. Nor in relations. Look at me, folks. Look at me right here. You and I, okay, you and I. He says, blessed is the man. And this is what the Word of God is saying. I'm not saying it. And I know many people are going to come back to me and they're going to say, well, Pastor Kevin, what about this? And what? I don't know about the what abouts. I'm just going to go with what the Word says. There's no whatabouts. Many times a whatabout is me trying to justify what I want to do and skirt around God's Word. That's a whatabout. What about? You go about it another way. Amen? So it says, but does not stand. What does stand means? Have relations. Listen, many of the problems that you and I have are because of the relationships we have with people. We're in ungodly relationships. Many of the problems that boyfriends and girlfriends have because one of them saves, one of them's not. Many of the problems that husbands and wives have because one of them's serving God, one of them's not. Many of the problems that people have at work because they're saved and they're not. Amen? And you don't understand it. If you're a Christian, you're a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. Amen? And people are not going to understand you. People are not going to accept you. People are not going to accept what the Word of God says. But too many of us today, what we do is we squander the Word of God because we're more concerned about being accepted by man than being accepted by God. And listen to me. When you stand up and you speak the Word of God, you ain't got to be rude about it. You ain't got to be mean about it. You ain't got to be hostile about it. The Word of God is like a lion. Just open your mouth. It'll defend itself. So many of us today think that, and I've thought this too, but the Lord's corrected me on it. Because I've been bold, I've been in your face, and man, and sometimes I speak the Word of God and just bam, bam, bam. And I'm really trying to let God change that in me. That God, I can speak your word with boldness. I can speak your, but I can still speak it with kindness and with love. And I can still speak it in a way that I don't have to look at somebody and try to intimidate them into believing the way I believe. I can't intimidate anybody into doing what I do. Only the Spirit of God can cause somebody to do what needs to be done. Amen. But that does not mean that I back down. That does not mean that I withdraw. That does not mean that I stop. What that means is that as I get older in the ways of God, that God is changing my approach on how I do minister. And we think that being godly is being rude. That's not what the Bible says. We think that being godly is being unkind. No, the Bible says that the godly are kind. Amen. That we ought to be kind. Now, does that mean that if we water down the Word? No. I'm going to look at somebody and just say, hey, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says you continue in fornication. I love you, but you're going to hell. And smile. But I know a way out. See, listen to me. We never offer law without fixing the wound with the gospel. The law cuts, the gospel heals. We cut, then we heal. We cut with the law, heal with the gospel bandage. And too many times we find ourselves cutting with the law, but we bring no healing with the gospel. Jesus said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. The law breaks, Jesus heals what the law breaks. Does that make sense? Amen? All right, let's look here. Nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Now listen, where's your delight? It says his delight, which is his pleasure, is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. Where does he find his delight? Where does he find his delight? In the Word of God. In the Word of God. His delight comes from where? The Word. Listen, let me tell you the most miserable place that you can be as a Christian. Knowing that you're not being obedient to God's word. I've been asking the Lord to do some things in my life. Lord, do this. Lord, help me do this. And you may not think he's really doing it until you do the thing that you ask him to help you not to do. You know what I mean? Lord, help me do this. Help me stop doing that. Help me. And then all of a sudden you do it, and guess who's right there? Guess who's right there? See, listen, God is not so concerned about what's going on around you as he is about what's going on in you. And when we can truly start changing by the power of God what's going on the inside of us, we'll find out that many times our circumstances automatically start changing. So I'll be going down the road. I'll say something to me and my wife the other day. I was just going down the road, and I shot my big mouth off, probably about somebody cut me off in traffic or something. You idiot! I've actually been asking the Lord, Lord, help me to quit calling people an idiot. We need to stop that. I'm serious. And I know, listen to me. I know that we, and I know this is little stuff, but I know that we think we're justified by doing it because somebody cut me off in traffic. But the Bible says it's easy to love those who love you, but it's a little harder to love those who cut you off in traffic. And I'll be going, I just want to know, anybody, and we take no big deal about it. They can't hear us. No, but still, you know what, God, that person can't hear me, but guess what? That's what's in my heart. The Bible says that that's in my heart. And you know what? I'm just going to be real with you. There's some stuff comes up out of me that ain't good in my heart. Can I just get real with you? Thank you, Brother Jay. I know everybody else holier than thou. I know everybody else holier than thou. Amen. I know everybody else. But when I sit there, man, and I'm going down the road there, and somebody cuts me off in traffic, I say, you stupid idiot. You idiot. Something ain't right here. And that is nothing more, it's not that the person can hear me talking. That's letting God let me hear in my ears what's really on the inside, or that's God letting me hear what's really on the inside of me. So when I look at me, sometimes I'm like, oh, God, help me not to say that. Lord, change my heart. See, now I don't go and say, Lord, let me go through traffic with nobody cutting me off. Let me go. No. Lord, let me go through life, Lord. Cleanse my heart. This should not be on the inside of me over somebody cutting me off in traffic. And I know that ain't no big deal. But when God starts dealing with you on certain things, that right there is a big deal. Why? Because it's little things. The words that I speak are nothing more than a compass of what's inside me. The words that I speak, the things that I say, what I say about other people, the griping, the complaining, the belly aching, the whining, the cutting and the chopping is nothing more than the filth that lives on the inside of us. And when we really start looking at it the right way, I'm like, Lord, I'm filthy. That's what God's working on me about. I think it may just hit home with some people too. Stupid. Idiot. Don't know how to do it. And I'm just sitting there. What if Jesus said that every time about you and I? You think Jesus is sitting up there? When you have a thought that you shouldn't have, he's going, Father, look at that idiot. Come on, folks, we're to reflect Jesus. I think we all need to sit back and realize that so many times we try to do outward things that makes our heart look right. But you know what, God, get down in my heart. God, get down in this heart. Lord, I don't want to talk the way you wouldn't talk. I don't want to think the way that you wouldn't think. I don't want to say things that you wouldn't say. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law, he meditates day and night. And then now this is the result of that. And I'll finish up here. This is what happens. Number one, it says, blessed is the man who does these things, that does not stand in the paths of sinner, sits in the seat of the scornful, but he delights. Blessed is a man that delights. It finds pleasures. Now listen to me. Not just in reading God's word, but being obedient to God's word. Not in just reading God's word, but being obedient. In other words, letting it have an active part in your life. Here's what I know. When I'm going down the road, and I say, you idiot. Out of one side of my mouth, I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry for saying that. But out of the other side of my mouth, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for being true to your word. And correcting those that you love. This is a sign that I know that you love me and you want me to be changed more into your image. And see, when we can start looking at God that way, listen to me. When we can start looking at God as a God that convicts instead of a God that condemns, now it's easier for us to be obedient to him. Because many times today, we as a church don't know the difference between conviction and condemnation. And when we sit there and we do something wrong, we like to say, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But really what it is, it's the Lord convicting us because he wants us to be transformed more into his image. We want to live a Christian life. We want to go to heaven without the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And that's not possible. So let's look here. It says, so blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, okay, nor stands in the paths of the sinner. So happy is the man that what? That stays away from these things, that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not have relations with sinners, that does not sit in the seat of the scornful, those that mock the word of God, but he delights. What? See, I find delight in being obedient to God's word. The worst place that a Christian can be is to be born again but not being obedient to God's word. That's where you get a miserable Christian. Because when you're trying to please the world and trying to please God, you're going to be absolutely miserable. That's why we see so many Christians, because we're trying to fit in. We're trying to appease things that we have no business being a part of. Amen? And I'll finish up here. And it says, and he shall. Now, this is the result of this person that does not stand in the paths of sinners, that does not sit in the seat of the scornful, but delights in the law and meditates. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, this is the result. See, many of us want this part, but we don't do the previous parts. Many of us want to be, we want the prosperity, we want to produce, we want to do all of those things, but we're not doing the previous parts. Now, listen to me. And the Bible says right here that sits in the paths of sinners. You know what? Sits in the paths of sinners mean that you can be bound up by your own thinking and your own ways. See, we point that at somebody else. I ain't hanging around that person because they're a scumbucket. I ain't hanging around that person because they're an idiot. But as you're sitting there calling them a scumbucket, as you're sitting there calling them idiot, you're just as... See, we're always looking at somebody else being in the path of a sinner instead of standing right there looking back at you in the mirror while you lipping about everybody else. We ain't getting this today, church, are we? See, we want to sit there and talk about all this and talk and point and look at that person. But I'm not even willing to look at the own blackness coming out of my heart. And the, you know who stands in my path most? Who, Jay? You don't, me. I know you're talking about you, but yeah. I am my biggest problem. This old heart on the inside of me is my biggest problem. Now, I know there's people in here that think they get, but Paul, I don't know. Anybody in here thinks they're above Paul? I don't know, but Paul said, I'm the chief of them. So now, let me ask you this. Stands in the past. So when I see my thought life and when I see my words coming out a way that is not pleasing to God, what I got to do is I got to get on a different path. I don't know if y'all are getting this or not. I may just be preaching to me today. I don't know. But when I'm sitting there and I think that I'm so holy and I think that I'm so Christianized that a majority of my conversation is putting down people that don't know God, that really ain't no different than I was before I knew God. For God so loved the world, he didn't come to save the saved. So then I really got to start looking at myself and saying, all right, what's going on here, God? Where's the love? Where's the compassion for these people that were just like I was and still am many times if it wasn't for you? Jesus looked at them, and he said they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. He didn't sit there and say, look at them idiots. He didn't get cut off by another donkey on his way going through Jerusalem and say, you stupid fool, where'd you get your driver's license, a Cracker Jack machine? No, he come to show him the right way. And how do we show him the right way? How would I show him the right way? If people are with me when somebody cuts me off in traffic, instead of calling them an idiot, say, Lord, bless them, for they know not what they do. I am my biggest obstacle. Anybody with me? He says, but the person that gets this, that does not walk in the counsel of the scornful, that does not listen to my own counsel. Amen. I can't trust my own counsel. It's got to be in the Word of God. It says, this man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And what does a tree do that's planted by the rivers? Come on up, Chris, or whoever, Jacoby. Where'd you go? In other words, even a tree knows not to move. The roots will grow down and go toward the water. Not away from it, but toward it. A tree, you can watch a plant. You can set a plant somewhere, and even a plant that ain't got a brain knows to reach toward the sunlight. You can take a plant and set it in a place where the sunlight only comes through a certain area, Don, and that plant knows it'll find that area, and it'll start growing in the direction of that sunlight. It'll start reaching for it, and its plants will start reaching down for the water. Even a plant knows to reach for the light. You and I, listen, a plant don't talk about reaching for the light. A plant don't sit there. A plant will start stretching that way. You and I will talk about reading the Word. We'll talk about studying the Word. But we actually got it. When I was preaching about a couple of weeks ago, we got to grab the hold of the Word of God and open it up and stretch. It talks about stretching your neck, looking into it, studying, stretching toward the light of the Word of God, studying and digging, because I know that that is where my growth and my maturity and my sustainability comes from. It says, this man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, not moved. Not tossed. See, Brett, I have got to learn that just because I have a thought, Chris, just because I have a thought, that's not okay for me to speak it. Just because I have a thought about somebody or a thought about a person, that does not give me the right to speak it. See, the thought lets me know what's in my heart. I don't need to let everybody else know what's in my heart. See, I need to grab it at the thought. He says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. There's many of us, we sit here and say, well, I've been doing this for a while and ain't nothing happening. Well, it ain't your time to produce yet. Every plant produces fruit in its season. There's certain plants that produce certain fruits in certain seasons. And there's certain times that you're going to produce certain fruits during your life. Amen. Some plants put off bad fruit. Some plants put off good fruit. Some fruits you can't eat. Some you can. He said, but this plant produces fruits. Here's my job. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that we're to continue doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. For during its time, during the right time, it will produce. The reason many of us never see the production is because we grow weary in doing good before we see the benefit of it. Oh, I've been doing good for a while. I ain't seen God do nothing. Because what we're doing many, many times is the only reason that we're doing good is for what God can give us. And when we don't get what we think God should give us, we turn around and go back, which is another opportunity for us to see the blackness in our own heart. Everything, listen to me, everything that happens to you and me in life, everything, if we truly believe God like we say we do, and if we're truly seeking God like we say that we are, everything that happens to me is for my good. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that God, all things work out for the good for those that what? To love God. Let me ask you this. Are some things not working out? Could it be because your love for God ain't where you thought it should be? I mean, I've asked myself before, God, do I really even love you? Do I? I mean, I know your word says that those that love you obey you. I want to obey you, but I don't want my obedience to be out of a self-motivated, self-righteous. I want my obedience to be out of a love for you. So he said, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He says, you'll produce fruit in your season. So you know what? There's dry seasons, there's rainy seasons. You go to the Serengeti in Africa, there's a time when everything's burned up. They even set stuff on fire to destroy it. The rains come, and new life flourishes. There's a time in your life, and there's a time in my life that you're going to go through some dry seasons. I'm just now coming out of one. Be honest with you. Amen. I'm just now coming out of one. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. I think it's the best thing that's happened to me in a long time in my walk with God. Once I learned to recognize what God was truly doing. Once I learned to recognize what God was truly doing. That God is not concerned about what's going on around you and me. He's not concerned about the things going on around me near as much as he is about what's going on in me. In me. That's what God wants to deal with. He wants to deal with my attitude. He wants to deal with my heart. He wants to deal with my negativity. He wants to deal with my outlook on how I see other people. And nothing more than me opening my big mouth is nothing more for me hearing with my own ears what really resides on the inside of me. When I jump on Facebook or people jump on Facebook, come on. Amen. Let's stand up. I'm done for today. Moms and dads, that was a switch just on the middle of the message. I was going to talk about fighting giants, no problem today. I'll get to that next week. But moms and dads, this is the importance of teaching your children God's ways. You know, my kids have grown up hearing me talk about God, hearing me talk about following God, hearing this and hearing that, but they've also grown up me, somebody cut me off in traffic saying, "You idiot, what are you doing?" Anybody know what I'm talking about? Then I tell them, no, don't talk about people. Man, I want that to change in my life. And we think that we're justified because somebody done us wrong. And really, when somebody does us wrong, it does nothing more than reveal what's on the inside of us. And God even uses that. People doing you wrong in order to reveal what's on the inside of us. Man, I wish I could be like Jesus. Hanging there on a bloody cross. Just saying, if you're the King of the Jews, if you're the King, come down off that cross. He didn't say, "You idiots, wait till 3 days and see what's going to happen." No, he looked down at him. They drove the spikes through his hands. They drove the spikes through his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They whipped him and ripped the hide off his back. A man that had never sinned. A man that didn't deserve anything he got. You and I deserve everything we get. But he deserved none of it. What was it he said? "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do." I'd like to start saying things like, if somebody cuts me off in traffic, say, "Lord, forgive them. They didn't see me. Lord, forgive them. They don't know." I know that seems like something small. But man, God revealed to me, is that really, Kevin, the way you think about my children? Wow. May not be nothing big to you. You may be comfortable with calling people idiots and stupid. I was for a long time. But when God starts dealing with you on it, and you know what? Ain't because he don't love me. Ain't because he don't love you. He's wanting to take you somewhere. He's wanting to do something. He's wanting to promote you. He's wanting to elevate you. He's wanting to take you somewhere in Him. But He says, in order to get there, we're going to have to deal with some stuff. And in order to deal with some stuff, I'm going to have to show you some stuff about you. Then we can either be humble and accept it, or we can be prideful and reject it. So, Father, thank you for, I believe, Lord, I know this wasn't a fiery message today, but Lord, I just tried to communicate to the people what I believe that you laid upon my heart right after baby dedications. Father God, I may not have explained this word the best way, but here's what I know that you can do. That your Spirit can take this word, take this seed, and you can fertilize it. And that, Lord, you can make this seed grow. And that, Lord, this word today can grow many branches. And we can see the branches in our life, and we can see the different areas of our life, just like a tree has different branches. That we can see the different branches, the different areas in our life that need to be trimmed and need to be pruned. We can see the things in our life that need to fall off. But Lord, we are to always stay connected to you. You are the life source. So Father God, I pray that within each and every one of our lives, and Lord, you would put a guard over our mouth and a watch over our lips. That Father God, that you would, that we would seek your ways and desire your ways and desire your heart. That Father God, that you would uproot in us the things that are not pleasing to you. You would tear down the things that are not pleasing to you. And that you would build upon our hearts your ways, your truth. That Father God, you would tear down self-pride. That would cause any man or woman in here to think that we've achieved something in this life. And Lord, you are the greatest achievement that we could ever have. That Father God, you would teach us to walk in this compassion and in this love. And that compassion and love does not mean that men got to become feminine and all of those things, but Lord, that we would walk in the compassion and the love and the character and the image of Jesus Christ. That we be conformed more and more into your image. That Father God, that we be quick to listen before we speak and obedient to you. Hey, Lord, that you would help us keep our mouth closed about the things that we don't need to speak about. And you give us the boldness to open our mouth when we need to speak. Hey, Lord God, we would seek to glorify you every day in what we do. Hey, Lord, you would teach us to love one another like your word says. It says, you will know them by the love that they have for their brethren. Lord, help us in this. Grow us in this. Teach us this. Show us this. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.
lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. In our hearts, we bend our knees, O Spirit. Turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God, for Jacob. God, let us be a generation. Lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, oh Jacob, seeks your face. Oh God, oh Jacob.
job this morning.
Y'all hear me? I appreciate you guys so much.
Likewise. We'll see you Sunday.
All right, man. You guys be careful going home. Love you guys. I'm trying to chop it.